password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
I did this. Forever united as one. Digimon. Together the battles are won. Digimon. Through us let your spirit evolve. We're all for one world. There's a world for us all. We're all for one world. There's a world. Welcome to Podigist episode 407.5, Darkness Before the Feedback Ends With You.
Lucimon Showdown, an island of the lost Digimon feedback.
Recorded August 23rd, 2017.
Podigist is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through your feedback for Podigist. Why is it written like this?
Keep reading it, Ashley. It's a script.
Which is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through your feedback for Podigist. Do I really have to say this 9 times?
I think it's more than 9 times that I wrote that.
I'm Ashley McDonald, and it's just me and fellow showman Jeff Ruberg.
You know, you didn't say it enough times that people actually listening will understand how absurd it is. You just
Which
said
is
it
your critically nostalgic analytical tour through your feedback for Podigist.
Today, we're doing a live feedback episode for episodes 406 and 407 and have a lot to talk about. So, let's get started. Okay, so we're going to start off with the Fortnite question, which for 406 was, which kid had the biggest emotional growth over the season? Ashley, can you start reading the Twitter replies?
Okay. Mayfisher, yes, / Ancient Irismon from Lost in Translation Mon says, Koji, I guess the way he warned to his stepmom was heart warned? Is it supposed to be warmed? I don't know. It was heartwarming.
Can you not read it? It's heartwarming. What do you...
No. The way he warmed.
Oh, warmed up. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think, yeah, warmed up to his stepmom.
Yes. The way he warmed up to his stepmom was heartwarming.
Embermoto said, is none of them an acceptable answer? I don't think any of them really grew emotionally.
Ouch.
And Homoerotic seconded that answer.
Dizzy and Law said, Koji had the biggest change since the beginning, was a jerk, but now is a jerk that cares about his friends and family.
Can you keep reading?
Zoe is my favorite, says... Was there a... okay, this is reverse. I don't feel like anyone really had an endearing emotional growth spurt, but I have to say that the kids as a whole definitely are much more likable at the end of the season than they were at the beginning. They were awful at the start. Thankfully, they changed.
I'd say, like, their change from the initial starting, they didn't really feel like character development. It just felt like the initial stuff faded away. It didn't really feel like, I don't know. Yeah, it didn't feel like, oh my god, it feels like they've come so far. It felt just like the thread of them being annoying people faded away, which was good. And Nate / at Tomoyoshi said, Tomoki... Izumi even admits it in her CD recording. So we've not heard the character songs or read the translation for those. I'm not sure what that's referring to, but that sounds fitting. On Facebook, Stephen Reeves said, is this a trick question? The question being, who had the best character development? And Lewis said, Koji, because Takuya didn't change much and everyone else is just bland. And we also got a voicemail answering this question, which I will try to find out. Here we go.
Here we go.
Whoa, hey everyone. It's your old pal Davis again, here to answer another question. Which kid had the most endearing emotional growth spurt? Well, it's gotta be Tommy. I think he grew at least 2 inches, and I totally cried. No, I'm just kidding. The character with the most emotional growth spurt would have to be Zoe. I mean, at first she started out, she just moved to a different country, so, you know, she wasn't very good at, you know, at making with friends. So, and then, at the end, she was able to make friends and to talk and to communicate with other people. And it was the saddest story I've ever heard.
Hey, Davish, I'm Phoebon. What's up? Why are you crying? Come on, Davish, you gotta snap out of it.
Okay, see you later, everybody. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
That was great. That was
very Davis.
That was a great sign-off to a season of Great Davis.
Great Davis and other side characters.
We're still apparently having issues with YouTube buffering, which, I don't know what's going on with that. I worry that it's something wrong with the streaming software. I have it set to as like low, like only emitting 10 frames per second, which I figure would be enough for it to not, you know, be messed up. And maybe it's the bandwidth upload limit. I don't know. I mean, we're not actually changing the video, so I don't see how it could be really stuck on that, but maybe sending those 10 frames per second is just too much.
too much for anyway, to handle.
Sorry for people listening live and going through that. Hopefully the recording after, definitely through the audio podcast view will be fine, but hopefully it is okay on YouTube as well. Now moving on to the voicemail question, the Fortnite question from episode 407, which was, would you rather be a human? I in the course of answers to this question, I realized that I phrased this poorly. I said, would you rather be a human or a beast Digimon, and why? Apparently, you should have said humanoid Digimon or beast Digimon. So actually, let's alternate. I'll start off with May Fisher Guest / Ancient Erismon, who is from Lost in Translation, said, whatever Erigimon is, the best Digimon.
Sisu Takano says, isn't human Digimon an oxymoron?
Yes. Yes. Homo Neurotic said, I guess beast, because who wants humanoid Digimon privilege? Thumbs down.
At Tapu Lero? I don't know which.
Tapu Lo?
Cool. Says, I'd rather be a human Digimon because beast Digimon may not have working thumbs.
That's true. Thumbs are valuable. Japanese Ali, at Ali Japanese, said, human because I would hate to change form. I like my body.
Tomo Yoshi says, why not both? That is the secret answer to true. All things.
I just realized we didn't really talk about the voicemail. Davis, I guess I, but
while, too late, Jeffrey.
Because it's the first time I heard it. And while he was going, I was like, maybe he's setting us up so that we're supposed to say that's the saddest story we ever heard. Yeah. But then he did it. So I was like, this is great. okay. Sorry. And the last answer to the 4-7 question was from Zeke on Facebook saying, Beast Digimon, because I'm a huge fan of the tamers. I don't really follow that logic. Maybe they want to be tamed by being Beast Digimon. I don't know.
I don't know,
but we have a lot of feedback to get into, so let's dive right into that.
I don't.
Let's go into the comments. And now we're back with comments. We totally went away. We had a commercial break. We changed up our shirts. You know how they do that in like game shows? Like they record like several days, like they record like a whole week's worth of shows and recording and just like change the shirts. Anyway, now we have comments, feedback from episode 406, which was the DigiWorld Ends With You, which was the Lusamon Showdown, the final episode covering stuff from the Frontier TV season. The first thing I wrote down here, which I'm frustrated, never really caught on to during the whole season, was JP's chocolate. This is less of a feedback and more like an addendum. Like, Jeff, why'd you miss this? JP's chocolate. Chocolate is not that common. Like, eating chocolate bars like that is not that common of a thing in Japan. I never really thought about how, like, what significance that had. I mean, I guess it just reinforces the stereotypeness of him being fat and eating chocolate, that, like, it's not a standard thing to do. But he's so fat, he eats so much chocolate. Like, but I think it kind of intersects weirdly with our discussion of the East versus West dynamics and Frontier being a hodgepodge of elements from American, from the conception of what America is like, that, like, I don't know. When you're in America, you carry around chocolate bars and eat chocolate bars.
When you're in America, you carry around chocolate bars against your body and they don't melt somehow. It's magic. Yep.
That's the slogan of M&M's. Yeah.
That's the American way.
And what else? Oh yeah. So in episode 406, the Coastal Clash, I forget what the theme of that was. I think it was like, it was like the first half was about the main kids. The second half was about, angels. It was all things like which character would choose angels or favorite TV show, would choose Angelica's favorite robots character, those kind of things. But one of the questions was like, who would listen to the most podcasts? Another one was, who would most likely start their own podcast? And for the Most Likely to Start Their Own Podcast, I had an additional question, which was, for the person you chose as Most Likely to Start Their Own Podcast, what would their podcast be about? And I meant to read those answers on 406, and I totally forgot. And now that was like 20 years ago. But anyway, some of them are really funny. So these are all submitted anonymously, so I can't pair up, can't get credit to who wrote them. But so the crowd was funny. So let's go through suggestions. For Tommy, this one podcast idea was suggested that it would be a podcast about how to be a greedy little kid. Sounds like it'd be a very popular podcast. Koji would have a podcast about Sailor Moon. At first I was like, I guess that's like funny for like a guy to have a podcast about Sailor Moon. But then I was like, oh no, because he Wolf Moon. And
yeah,
like,
he's Tuxedo Mask. Anyway. Zoe would have a podcast about how feminism isn't just a girl thing, or how to catch a friend. What does that mean?
Yeah, I like to think that how to catch a friend idea was not like, was like how to physically catch them in traps.
Oh,
and like,
my God, yes.
And Takuya's suggestions for Takuya were that he'd have an Italian cooking podcast, a podcast about Italian cooking, which I assume would just be to like try and woo Zoe or something. Like, and also an after show for Guy Fieri's TV show is, I don't really know enough about the Guy Fieri. I think those TV shows are all about like absurd, diet, like really fattening foods and stuff.
I think it's him going around to like crappy-ish or like hometown diners in America and stuff.
I was gonna say the one place we've been to, that's not true. Pretty sure the food court at my office are really like has been covered on that show, but also that like random diner we went to in Maine. Do you remember? Yeah. We didn't actually eat there. We wanted to, but there's a long line. I remember there was a sign there that said that it had,
right,
but it was just like wasn't like special for. I thought he was famous for like having like, you know, like deep fried Oreos in butter
in deep fried. Butter.
I don't know. Like, I thought he was known for like the things that he would cover, like really absurd, exorbitant, not exorbitant in a good way, like exorbitant in a fattening way. Anyway, I guess Takuya did have a lot of absurd cooking in that hamburger episode. Koichi, suggestions for Koichi's podcast would be that he would have a podcast about what it's like to embrace your inner goth. I don't think you need a podcast about it. You just do it. This is the best idea, but also, okay, this suggestion was that Koichi would host a podcast called Did You Have a Nice Trip, where he discusses holiday destinations with his guests.
Yeah, does he?
Suggestions for JP, you have a podcast about Zoe, which I like that suggestion. He'd have a podcast called JP's Talk Olapar.
Yeah. Personal relationships is another suggestion.
It's just that he'd start a political podcast where he'd just say controversial things for the attention.
About magic shows. That one makes sense.
Oh, but then that was one suggestion. Another suggestion was that the podcast would be a description of magic tricks that completely folds once he realizes that magic tricks are only meant for a visual medium. I think that's another one of the best answers. Also, I don't know. There's not much to talk about this on this front, but I made a joke tweet, not just tweet, but, you know, social media post. On social media platforms about how the like digivices referring to cell phones was the saddest death in the series. But then I thought about it some more, and it's like, it actually, like, considering how much, like, I don't know if you remember when we talked about our war game and stuff, and how like the kids are still carrying their digivices when they're going for summer break and stuff, is like they haven't really moved on. And then we see that obviously again in Try and stuff, and like the fact that they keep these memorabilia from their adventure is really important to them. And it occurred to me that I think Frontier is the only season where they explicitly don't have those. It's like the adventure didn't happen. They don't have any, right, any memorabilia from the trip, and that's kind of sad.
But they also don't will help them move on.
But they also don't have like they didn't have partner like the other in every other season. It's like they miss their like lifelong destined partner. In the Frontier, it's like,
yeah,
well, we made friends with people who we could still be hanging out with. Like,
yeah,
that'll factor.
I guess I'm not a Goonimon anymore.
yeah, they lost their ability, but like, so anyway, so still all feedback about episode 406. Yoshiman 400 on Reddit said, this was in regard to, we were discussing whether people could die in Digimon, I guess, because it was like the idea of Koichi dying never seemed that impactful, because it was like people can't really die in Digimon. And he said, I actually do think that one of Mako, Maki, or Daigo might die and try. Whether you think that's a borderline case because it specifically targets an older audience compared to Frontier, there's definitely an unease to what we're getting where it wouldn't be outrageous to think that someone will die by the end. Don't make me try to figure out which one of them, though. That's a valid point. I mean, Try is going for the more adult audience. I still don't think it's going to happen. Actually, you were expressing that to you. Do you agree?
I don't think they're going to die.
Yeah. I do think they are, if anyone were to, it's probably the best guess because they are older generation needing to like move on for them, new generation to fill those shoes, but also those shoes have always been there in the background. I don't know. It would be possible. Maybe if they actually wanted to make us feel things. Kiwara in the comments on petitions.com said, and I can't remember what this is in reference to, but
are we read their iTunes review or something?
They said senpais have finally noticed me. I was wondering because I'm like, oh, Kiwara, like that. I feel like I've seen that name, maybe not so often, but I feel like it's been in my mind for a long time. But yeah, I guess the iTunes review really lagged and delayed. So, and they mentioned they're still listening and loving in-depth analysis, and they forget to comment unless it's something really big. But they mean to and always forget, and can't wait to hear us talk about Savers and Data Squad, which I am very excited for. I almost use Data Squad music for the show.
I have no feelings. People give me mixed signals on how good it is.
I mean, I'm definitely excited to use
can't be worse than Frontier. That's all I know.
I'm definitely excited for a new logo. This is the only time where like for Frontier, we scrambled at the last minute, very, very much last minute to find an artist to do a logo. And we like didn't actually have it when we launched 400. I think even 401 maybe we had it for 401. But this time we've had the Savers one way months in advance. So I'm really excited to show that off. It's I think the longest we've had something secret. Embermoto also in the comments at Padage.com, Embermoto breaks up their thoughts by episode is a lot to rant about episode 49 about how the scanning of the good data in Lucima made no sense, which I totally agree with. But then I totally forgot this. They basically turn into Susanomon to defeat Lucima in chaos mode and then scan the quote unquote good, only the good data. And then while they're fighting, Lucima in shadow lord mode, Satan mode, whatever, the big giant dragon thing, Embermoto's words, why wouldn't you digivolve to Susanomon in order to fight this version of Lucimon? If you needed Susanomon to beat the bad guy before, why wouldn't you now? Why would being pure evil make him any less powerful? And yeah, I did not think about how they only the last minute after an episode of most of an episode of not knowing what to do, realize they can combine again. It's frustrating and stupid. And then their comments at episode 50, which is the last episode. This was the clunkiest and most disappointing final villain and finale in Digimon ever. As he mentioned, Zoe's monologue doesn't even make sense, and the rest of the monologues aren't all that great. Where was the security in the hospital? I know that's actually you.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
I think we bring that up some more in episode 408. anyway, the kids should not have been able to run into the operating room like that. You know what would be better than seeing the kids' fantasy of the future? Actually seeing them do those things. Not just still images, but actual scenes. Here was so much padding and evolution. There were so much padding and evolutions in these last couple episodes. You could have cut down on that in order to devote more time to the goodbye scenes. That is, I hadn't really thought about how much padding there was in those episodes and how rushed the actual character stuff at the end was. That you could have had even 5 minutes would have been fine of showing some scenes of their life in the future.
They really liked showing still shots of them smiling and stuff.
And just being all of their character issues have been completely resolved.
Yep.
They will have no trouble making any friends whatsoever anymore.
They're good.
I realized in the course of us talking about how they don't have Digimon partners to miss, I think the biggest reason they couldn't do actual scenes of them after coming back the real world is there's a big open question, which I think would be really hard to resolve, which is how do these kids, are they still a friend group? Are the six of them a tight knit group? Do the six of them ever talk? Do they, in Adventure, that's kind of answered because we, over the course of 02, see them regroup for certain things, but there's no expectation that they like regularly hang out. And I feel like, I don't know, N02 solves this by just, you know, fast forwarding so many years that like them reconnecting every couple of years for a big family reunion makes sense. For this, it's like, I don't know. I feel like if you showed them doing anything other than like meeting up, it'd be kind of weird, but it would make sense for them to meet up occasionally, like we see the Adventure Kids do on Odaiba Day in 02. Something like that would make sense. Do they have any companions they lost in the digital world? No.
In 02?
No, in Frontier. Oh. Like anyone they could meet, like they do for Wizardmon in 02. I don't...
Sorcermon?
But like, they all come back. So like, yeah, Sorcermon, but like, ugh, they all come back and they don't even care if they didn't want anyway. They don't care about any of them. I guess you really could show them, like, meeting, reuniting to, like, have some, like, hangout with all of them. Anyway, Zoe's my favorite. Also in the comments at patages.com. Basically talking about my darkness versus evil topic and how I was frustrated they conflate the two a lot. She said, I think that it's hard to have these conversations without there being consensus on what evil and darkness entail, and even what good is. And many people have differing opinions slash beliefs about what these terms should, about how these terms should be defined. For many, this is a can of worms in and of itself, and definitely not something the writers were going to really take the time to convey through the story. And they'll say if anyone wants to talk a bit more about that subject, they'd be happy to discuss. And you can find this comment at patages.com/406 if you want to discuss it with those I favorite some more. And yeah, I do think there's like a middle ground between going full into like exploring what the nature of darkness and evil and everything that obviously a show like Digimon would never do. And I feel like Frontier is kind of the opposite spectrum where it like wants to use those elements, wants to be like, darkness is not evil. It's something else. This is purified darkness. And like, is basically just using it as a, isn't this so cool? Paint of coat. Yeah. Coat of paint. And I find that...
Code paint.
I'm more interested in that middle ground. And I feel like that's what Digimon should be doing, is not just, like, these kind of cheap... Yeah, I just feel like it's cheap. It's like, there's no weight behind it, and yet it acts like there is. And Zoe Zephyr also has a lot of comments about voice actors that we... In episode 4 or 6, we had a long discussion about voice actors and, like,
I do remember, and I remember this first one that she brings up. If you wanted a little taste of Tai's voice actor as a villain, he was the Wizardmon Kumamon was fighting in the third episode, and that voice just came off as silly.
Yeah,
I did remember when we were talking. Didn't we hear Tai's voice as a villain? But I think the reason that it, like, there are multiple reasons that his voice comes off silly there, and one of them is certainly that he has to speak in rhyme.
I forgot about the rhyming.
Like that's a complicated one.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to hear him not have silly lines, maybe.
Yeah, and I feel like it's just, I don't know, it's tough for those actors that have limited range for a character that also means a lot like Tai. Yeah, like they mentioned an example that Laura Jo Miller would be fine as a villain, but they'd probably still just hear Kari. And we also mentioned, I think we were talking about how Cherubimon sounded weird when it was like purified Cherubimon and still sounded like evil Cherubimon. And they mentioned that like that the voice actor of Cherubimon is actually the voice actor of Leomon. So they're pretty good ranger.
I can hear that now that was right. Pointed out.
I think if I'm recalling correctly, our point wasn't that like it sounds weird for Cherubimon to be good. That voice to be good, it was more that like it didn't seem to fit Cherubimon, whatever it's called, like vice versus virtue, whatever. That like the purified Cherubimon seems like they have a kind of happy, cheerful bunny voice. And then yeah. It makes sense for the evil version of that to be like a dark, gruff, like mar. And like that same kind of gruff voice makes sense for Leomon, but I feel like it doesn't, you know what I mean? That like the purified Cherubimon did not really fit.
Yeah, like, Leomon's a tough lion.
Right, they also mentioned, because I was talking about Harry Potter and the methods of rationality and how it handles the, like, dark is an evil idea. They mentioned that they're already 6 chapters in. I'm curious to hear how far they are now that it's been, like, probably, like, 3 months since this comment, maybe? No, not maybe
it's
that
not
long.
That long.
I can't remember when this came out. Did this come out before or after a hiatus? After. This is only after. A month old. This is only a month old. Okay, okay. Yeah. Yeah. We also have comments from episode 020, which was our Try Chapter 5 PV stuff. Also, wait, before we move on, I do want to acknowledge, like, Zoe was my favorite's thoughts about, like, it being hard to discuss evil and darkness and everything. Like, yeah, I do acknowledge how, like, the idea of what good is very, not controversial, but, like, it's hard to come to consensus and, like, and, yeah, especially what evil is, especially fraught for some situations. But anyway, moving on to Try Chapter 5 PV reactions. This is from...
In the chat, there's Agent ARP says, Jeff, I did bring up your request to have Cherubimon shout recommend articulation with the voice actor.
Ooh. Well, thank you, Adam. I'm waiting for an MP3 file. No, from the way he phrased that, it sounded like he didn't actually record it. So our Try Chapter 5 episode, I'm going to pronounce his name, 2Karis3, in the comments at podedge.com/020, basically said, like, what they're hoping for, they're dreading, and what the things are dreading, because I think we kind of agree. So things are dreading about Try Chapter 5. Hikari not taking an active role and being passive again, letting weird and strange things happen to her, again, with little to no result to her character development.
I mean, it's hard because it's like, at least in Try, what they set up is that she gets possessed. And it's like, okay, I don't know how she fights possession. Like, we're not given
it's,
that.
It's not that she needs to fight possession, it's that there are interesting things the story could do regardless of her being possessed. Like, she could be possessed and, like, have plot dumped while she's possessed. And they could do interesting things with that way more than what the original season did, which was, like, not even anyone tell her what happened while she was out. Like, she, presumably what we see on screen, at least, she doesn't even know about that stuff. And there's like, yep, doesn't matter to tell her. And, like, I guess it's possible that could have occurred off screen, but I don't think there's any confirmation in the show itself that that did. So I think there's interesting things they could do with, they're like...
It's Digimon.
I think there are interesting things this movie, if there are important things revealed while she's in homeostasis mode, that they could totally explore her feelings about not being present for those things, about being used for that. There are lots of... Because, like, okay, think about how she was used in Chapter 3. And it was like, oh, great, this is, like, it's cool this element is back, it's cool that it's named homeostasis, which is something people have wanted to know if it's named that for a while, because if it's mentioned in the books and everything. And great, but it's still refreshing that it's like, while Hikari is possessed, we don't actually get any. Hikari is basically just a plot vehicle for that moment. And then once we find out that Hikari is on the poster for Chapter 5, it's like, okay, she's gonna get actual character development. If we find out that character development is just her being a more prominent vehicle for plot dumps, like, that's gonna be much more frustrating. But there's so much more potential. Like, I think it's more frustrating because there is so much more potential, because we think there's gonna be so much more. And in the words of Asher, you probably shouldn't get her hopes up. But it's so hard to be like, Hikari's on the cover. Let's assume she's not going to get any scenes.
I had given Try faith until movie 4.
I didn't really give it faith. I started giving it faith again because of Chapter 3.
Right.
So it was like okay, tons of faith for Chapter 1, went pretty far down. Chapter 2 raised it a tiny bit. Then Chapter 3 raised it a ton, and Chapter 4 made it shoot down a lot. Anyway, some more things are dreading. Some more things that 2Karis3 is dreading. Hikari depending on Taichi or Takaru again, instead of her struggling and solving her own problems by herself. So many routes this could take, that, like, her quote-unquote character development could be being saved or helped by Taichi or Takaru.
Again, Chapter 4 does not...
Yeah, you know. But at least Sora's arc was not. It did tightly involve, like, yeah, like this, the Taichi and Yamato, like, arc scene with them walking and stuff. They were involved, but they weren't, like, it wasn't about her being saved by them. They're also dreading badly or messily drawn scenes, lots of still frames, and nothing about the Zero tickets being revealed, which I think is just par for the course at this point. I don't think it's worth being super dreading or disappointed about those things, because they're probably just going to happen. So, moving on to episode 407, which was Darkness Before the Yawn, the Island of Lost Digimon episode. I still love the title. Of course, I'm mispronouncing it. It should be darkness, but I'm pronouncing
darkness.
It so everyone... Darkness before the yawn. I, for some reason, left in the notes here 406 comments in the section, which makes no sense. not even like a specific comment. Like it literally was written 406 comments. Anyway, silly Jeff. Dot Yawning on Reddit had a comment about, we, I guess we've been talking about, I like offhandedly joked about how like, so obviously Takuya and Koji are a thing. They're totally boyfriends, but they both turn into Agumon and Lobamon, which are descendant, quote, kind of, I philosophically descendant from ancient Greymon, ancient Garurumon. And then we find out that Ornismon, supposedly, I guess it's actually refuted by the movie, but that Ornismon was supposed to be a descendant of ancient Greymon, ancient Garurumon. Turns out that's not the case. He actually was sealed by them. But anyway, I talked about how, like, at the point where I thought Ornismon was descendant from ancient Greymon, ancient Garurumon, that means that they hooked up, which means that Agumon and Lobamon are descendants of them, which means that they can't be hooking up or else that'd be incest. And yeah, Dot Yawning had a obligatory serious comment about that joke, which was that
obligatory serious.
That like so they talk about the mechanics of making eggs in the game. So Digimon aren't real world animals. In some of the story games, literally any two Digimon can make an egg, presumably by sampling the parents' data and making something out of that. Perhaps Frontier's World is something like that too. I know that's retroactively trying to apply a gameplay mechanic into an anime season, but eh. That's a good point. I never really thought about how like digital world weirdness can extend to making babies in Digimon. We never see the concept of like families, except for Cross Wars. Families of Digimon don't make any sense for their families. So it would make more sense if things are just randomly sampled or whatever.
Yeah.
But also, I don't think I mentioned the episode, but the whole ancient Greymon, ancient Garurumon, and if they hooked up and then their descendants hooking up, I don't think I mentioned how it reminds me just of Link and Zelda. And I think, oh, didn't we? Because then you were like, what? Link and Zelda are descendants of Link and Zelda? I'm like, yes, Ashley, this is like the premise of every Zelda game. I mean, this is off mic.
I think it was offline, though.
Yeah, because then we were talking about like the Hyrule story, and you're like, oh, it was on a Cyber Sleuth stream, I think, because I remember getting the... yes, it's creepy that, like... Well, I mean, it's not like Link and Zelda... I don't know. They never imply, like, they get babies. They make babies together. So maybe there's just, maybe it's always like a tragic romance where they want to get together when they can't, and then they happen to have descendants separately, and then there's descendants also try to get together and can't, and then it goes on forever. The last comment we have still for episode 407, and it's from Ember Moto in our comment section at podge.com/407. And I did not bold things in particular to read here, and it's a very long comment, so I don't think we have time to read all of it. I was mentioning ideas here. Talking about how violent the island of Lost Digimon is, and how the kids are interfering left. So, also, before the truth of Myrmexmon was discovered, did Koji and Taki have the right to interfere the way they did? The kids are interfering in a war that was not their own and kind of forcing their ideals that everyone should get along onto a group that has a different way of life than the kids do. The Digimon aren't even human, and the kids are trying to push their human beliefs onto them. Ashley, what do you think about that?
Human beliefs onto them. I mean,
see, I think that like the belief of like everyone should get along, I don't know.
I mean, it was expressed by the Digimon, though.
Yeah, I can't remember how much, to what degree it was.
I mean, it was by a lying McLeod-faced Digimon, but
right. Like not by the Digimon that they didn't get the idea from the Digimon.
Plus
they got
Kodamon
and Beiron. Yeah, they were like. So I don't think there's anything wrong with them wanting them to get along. I don't know. Maybe this is just my human belief bias, but like, I think that some ideas like that are universal, that they shouldn't be killing each other, maybe. And
I mean,
the issue of
when you put it onto real world politics is that it's like, oh yeah, that's normally gross. When it's like, we should all do like, if we put it onto real world politics now, where it's like, white supremacists are being mean, you shouldn't be mean back, we should all just get along. It's like, no, that's not.
What I'm thinking more is that the universal idea that murder is bad, that like people dying is bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? That like, And I think there, there are similar arguments being made that, like, we're getting into so many political topics, but, like, the idea that, like, whether hate speech should be a protected form of free speech or not, and what, you know, like, traditionally a lot of people say that, yes, it should be, but also, like, giving any kind of platform to genocide, to mass murder, is abhorrent, and a lot of people agree that, like, that shouldn't be a protected form of free speech, that, like, giving any kind of platform to ideas like that is not a slippery slope, will not lead to other things, will just prevent those terrible things from spreading more. And I think that's kind of the way I'm looking at that, like, some things like advocating mass murder should just be, like, universally applicable and not, like, well, anyway.
Right. I just read an article in Harper's, it's from, like, a year ago, but it was, like, a forum about people being, like, what does the political map look like now? And there was a section on them being, like, what are universal rights? Like, who gets to, you know, govern that? Like, what role does the United States have? And it's like, sure, there are universal, like, human rights that, like, people want freedom and democracy. Like, this is just a thing that people want and stuff. And, like, yeah, you shouldn't want to kill people via military force, but sometimes military force is necessary as long as you, like, have a political goal in mind and you're like, I will stay here until that political goal is achieved and stuff.
Yeah, I agree that, like, the idea that, like, no, war is bad is, like, and then, like, actually being like, you cannot fight is worrisome, you know, because, like, there could be important reasons that the conflict is going on. I guess it's mixed into this conflict being, there not being an actual, like, reason for them to be fighting. They seem to be fighting because they're still fighting. You know what I mean? Like, I guess the
right,
kids...
There's no, like, bad or good side in this fight, right? Like, it's not applicable to, like...
But I think that's applicable to real life, and it's more that, like, from the beast Digimon side, they think the human Digimon are bad and the beast Digimon are good, and vice versa. I think that's actually... What I don't think... What is not present is, like... They are oppressing us. They have been in power for X number of years, and we have, you know, they have committed mass genocide. They have, I don't know, done terrible things, and we are fighting to prevent those atrocities from happening again. It's more just like, we've been fighting for, and I think it is kind of plausible that they started fighting for whatever reason and then keep fighting because they keep fighting, like, that it just spirals out from there. They keep fighting because they hate each other. But
it makes sense how they're not all turned to digi eggs, to be honest.
But they, I mean, since they all turn to digi eggs and the digi eggs stay there, we don't know how long it takes for them to be reborn and then just, like,
I guess, but then, oh, whatever.
it's really not expanded on. Emeramoto also rants a little bit about, like, the fact that, like, the division between beast Digimon and humanoid Digimon is not very clear, like, what happens to the rookie forms that are more humanoid and then they become more beast-like as they evolve and stuff. And I think the fact that they turn to digi-eggs and presumably those digi-eggs stay within that camp kind of answers that question, if I were to extend this logic any further, which may not be worth doing. Like, I don't know if there's going to be any, like... But I just think, like, the digi-eggs would, you know, a bunch of humanoid Digimon get killed, turn into digi-eggs, and then the humanoid Digimon gathers up and keep them in their camp. And then, like, even if they have a beast Digimon rookie form, presumably they know that they'll eventually be humanoid Digimon. I don't know. Probably the concept of the movie did not think that through all the way. But I do think there's, I don't know. The thing is, like, I think, if I recall correctly, about them interfering, I don't think that came from them landing in the island and then being like, we are going to interfere. It was more like they landed with either the beast or the human Digimon, and then hearing that group talk about the other group, then wanted to get involved to support the group that they found, right? Like, and then, so, like, that angle of it, like, weren't they kind of just responding to the request for help from the Digimon? So maybe it's not so much about, like, them imposing. I guess they were imposing the idea that they shouldn't be fighting, which didn't come from anyone aside, but it came from Beramon and Kotamon, so. And they're the only important characters in the movie, so.
Yeah, I really don't feel like they were imposing anything. They were just, like, giving it into the first side there.
Well, right, yeah. I think initially, their initial stance of, like, when they land on different sides and, like, don't agree, but their eventual stance of them trying to stop the war was that cultural imperialism, kind of, but I think because it came from Beramon and Kotamon, not so much.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I think it's also because, like, they're, like, the optimistic future.
The cutest, so.
Actually, Bearmon and Kotomon remind me a lot of. There's some stuff in One Piece. It's and the Fishman Island arc is really not a popular arc among One Piece fans, but it has to do with a lot with racism, and it's like in a lot of ways a direct analog for like American civil rights movement, which is weird coming from Japanese author and Japanese worldview. But there's basically like a faction of people that are very racist. I'm not going to go into all the detail of it, but like, and like one of the big points that people who are fighting against the race people make is like to not make an impression with the children. The children should not be exposed to that kind of hatred and terrible views. And like children come into this world not thinking that outsiders are terrible or whatever. And like that, keeping them pure from that mindset is one of the most important things. I think that's kind of like what Bearmon and Kotomon are here. They're the innocent ones who are like above racism because whatever. But I guess that's just mirroring the Romeo and Juliet. Because
you learn racism, it's not inherent. Whoa, crazy theories.
Yeah, but we also learn racism from so many, like, subtle sources. You know, just, like, offhand comments.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually surprised, given the world setup, that they even could meet like that. Like, because, like, considering how much sides hate each other, I don't really buy that they would have been able to just have friends.
Sure. But that's how all such stories kind of...
Yeah.
Go.
I haven't been following chat. Is there anything? Any good in there?
No, we're talking about try for a little bit. Dizzy says, what if there are any Digimon that are borderline human and beast and are shunned from both sides? And I said, too true to life.
It also, like, too complex a topic this movie to handle.
Yeah, you wanted to, like, tackle biracial people? It's too complicated.
No, I just think it's more like, it kind of makes me just on how the beast versus human Digimon concept is the thing that Frontier kept going back to every time, considering it is not actually a clear dichotomy. You know what I mean? Like I feel like it would almost be more fitting for it to be like about the Digimon attribute system, like the data vaccine virus, if they were instead like why not embrace that and be like, okay, there's always a war and conflict between three sides between the data vaccine and virus groups, and like then at least you can be like everyone has a clearly defined attribute. There are some people who are neutral, but like they're often or whatever. But instead of it just being this nebulous thing that like is a category that not everyone even has. I don't know. I guess that's harder to explain. It's so weird the anime never really touches on that triangle. So strange.
Yeah, in any season.
Like, no, I think it maybe it's just like considered too complex of a thing to bring up, since it's not evident from any other, like, basically it's something to have to guess, like the fact that Gilmon is a virus, but the other, I forget, I remember the three main Digimon tamers are one of each type. Mm-hmm. Terrymon is vaccine, and Renamon is data, and Gilmon is virus. Like the fact that it's not evident from their visual, they explain it every time they brought it up, probably. So, yeah. Anyway, let's move on to the soundboard.
Okay.
Ashley, let's recommendation articulation.
Oh my gosh, what have I done since the other million episodes that we recorded?
Yeah, this past weekend recorded two episodes, and it was about X-Evolution and 500, so 500 is going to be a while before that comes out. I am trying to load up my list of things to recommend.
Holy Jesus. Okay, what should I recommend?
Just looking around the apartment.
Just what is in
how
here?
How about air, guys? Have you heard this thing called air?
Air. It helps you breathe.
I similarly kind of struggle to think of a recommendation because I have a lot of things I'm in the middle of that I think are really amazing, but I'm like hesitant until I finish them. I recommend them. So do you want to jointly recommend something? Or I can recommend something separately, but also, you've been really enjoying Tsurudera Children.
Have I?
There have been moments where you've been like really into that show. No?
Yeah, but it's so problematic.
Okay, what do you want to actually recommend then?
You can go first. We're doing really well here. I lost the chat window. Hi, chat window.
I am going to recommend something that, going with a philosophy of I don't have anything finished to actually recommend in its entirety, I'm going to recommend something I just found out existed before recording this, and I have not actually listened to it all. But I am sure it's going to be amazing because of the people involved, and I'm loading up the name of it. Okay, it's a podcast called Fave This, and I am super excited for it. Only 2 episodes out now, and I have not listened to them yet, because I really found out about it before recording this. But the one of my favorite podcasts, I forget when it ended, but it ended like, I don't know, half a year ago, maybe more than that, was a game podcast called Match 3, which had Patrick Klepek and Jita Jackson. Jita now works at Kotaku. And it was like, I thought it was a really great video game podcast that covered lots of cultural angles, the thing that video game podcasts don't normally do. And Jada was my favorite host on the podcast, and she was great. And then once Match 3 ended, Patrick Klepek moved on to and is now on the Vice Gaming and Waypoint podcast. But Jada wasn't on the podcast. And now Jada started this podcast called Fave This with Patricia H. and Patricia Hernandez, also Kotaku. And it is about gaming from a similar kind of cultural angle. I'm not sure, but I really trust those two hosts. They're both great from everything I've seen or read from them, so I think it'll be amazing. Ashley.
Yeah. I guess I'll go. I might recommend. See, like, I don't. Jeff loves everything, and I love very few things very intensely, so it's hard for me. I might have recommended this before, but I'll go with Chaos Walking Trilogy books.
I don't even know what that is.
The first one is called The Knife of Never Letting Go.
What?
It's becoming a movie soon, so hashtag relevant. I don't know how soon is soon. They're casting
people. Is it
called
people. Chaos Walking?
Yes.
Okay.
It's literally about, never heard of this before. It's about a lot of things. Mostly gender politics. There are aliens. And it's about gender politics and imperialism. My two favorite things. it's very stylistic. I am trepidatious about the movie adaptation. It apparently is going to have Nick Jonas in it, I think. It's going to have one of them Jonas Bros in it. And I'm like, oh, God, no. Okay. So that's why you should read books. Read books. Okay. It's fun.
And now we have only 4 minutes left, so we are going to have to rush for the outro. You can find the full show notes and comments there for this episode at podcast.com/407.5. Jump in the comments to let us know what you thought about this episode, like how much you don't want us to talk about real world politics and how they connect to Digimon.
Too bad, it's on Disney.
Especially when it becomes about racial politics and more. you can also let us know your thoughts via social media, email or with the wealth thread, or Digimon subreddit thread for episode 407, which I'll probably resurrect to put this in there. or you can fail at improv so much that you can't think of an answer to this part of the podcast script every time you come to it. Our Goonimon artwork, while we're covering Frontier, is by Jubia Majo on DeviantArt, and we'll have links in our show notes to check out the rest of their artwork.
Project is made possible with your support on Patreon, including support from a champion Patrimon, Diabjomon, and Miss Tokujo on Twitter. Dizzy Izumi, I don't know, we didn't get from that.
But
we didn't, well, too bad at Dizzy Lost. At Dizzy Unlost on Twitter and then in the chat. You can give us opinions on that. We were trying to make it better. We don't have time for that. Joe Kito, Kailunamon, Michael Penne, and Sam Kuagamon, who is on the Moncast, our ultimate Patrimon, David Graumon, and our mega Patrimon, Marcus.
If you want to be cool like them, then you can become a Patrimon too. Come join our private group chat, for which you can join for as little as $1 a month. You can also find Podigis on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons, hear about upcoming episodes and recordings, and live streams and Cyber Sleuth playthroughs and stuff, and get funny Digimon images and GIFs. I'm also on Twitter at JeffinlyJeff.
I'm on Twitter at AshMcD00.
I am figuring out how to use a soundboard.
What is happening?
Here we go. And you should share the podcast with your friends who...
who love politics and Digimon.
And don't share the podcast with your friends who get into race wars.
And join us in a couple of days for our Frontier season-wide retrospective. I have to go get all the notes for that right now. Bye. And remember, never stop digivolving. Why am I saying these things?
I didn't say bye.
Nope, you didn't.
Bye.
Cool.